Happy Sunday, y'all, and welcome to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And
hello.
It is another hot one. I feel very confident saying, like, it's been so hot.
I'm you know, I don't like cold weather, but I'm actually ready for fall. Like, I'm actually ready to not sweat all the time.
Yes. I'm ready for, like, the crispness of the air, and I'm one of those weirdos that likes the smell of, like, burning leaves or,
Like,
yeah, barbecue pit. Something about the smokiness, like, not anything, like, cray-cray.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, just something about the, like, nice smokiness.
Yeah. If I could barbecue some tofu, I might be into it.
Right. Fair.
Don't eat things with faces, so that usually freaks me out. But yeah, so we weren't on the air last week because we had a Labor Day weekend.
I know. So, I mean,
we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So I haven't seen you in a week. So how's it been?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Wellness week was last week.
Absolutely.
Glow yoga. What else did we do?
We also did our presentation on financial wellness. Mm. We had the labyrinth. We had a huge turnout at the student health fair. But of course, you know, it was hot that day too. But our students are troopers.
They are.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping, though, that we can continue to just educate our UA community about the importance of hydration. Because, you know, that first football game that we had, the home football game, I think I read over 100 people had passed out from the heat and had to get serviced in the first A-10.
From the heat, you say?
From the heat. You know, we've got metal bleachers, the heat index over.
All the things.
Yes.
Well, I'm really excited for our show today because we are honoring and talking about Recovery Month.
Yes.
We have two special guests that we're going to bring on a little bit later. So I'm excited because that kind of hits home for me and my family. So that'll be kind of fun to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're a new listener to our show, Fit to be Tied is all about wellness. We have Whitney as our fitness guru, myself as nutrition guru, but we have so many gurus on campus with the different facets of wellness, and I really like how we take a very holistic approach to
too. We look at all the aspects, and I think Dr. Perez, he came and spoke at our staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at our whole model, our wellness model, and we're like, well, how does UREC fit into this? And we fit in almost to all of it, but that's what's so great about student life is we have all these different resources and categories that can bring the whole aspect of wellness to our students.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you missed our show where we talk specifically about the Alabama wellness model in each of those different sectors, you can actually...
Is that our last show?
Yeah.
That we just did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I forget.
Because we broke it down, you know? And if you missed that, you can catch us on audioboom.com/channel/WVUAFM.
That was awesome. One day I will learn it.
Yeah, I'm going to say it next
time. Wait, Audioboom? What is it?
Audioboom.com.
Audioboom.com/channel/WVUAFM.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
That'll be my homework. I will practice saying that. We will come up with a rap together.
We will.
We should.
I think we should.
Let's do it.
That's when we will go, like, full-blown on the social media having to do that. So, I don't know. But do you feel like you've gotten into the swing of things with the semester? Because now,
I think so.
You know, we've got a couple weeks under our belt.
Yes, I feel good about it. Ready for Christmas break. I'm just kidding. I love everybody. ready for Christmas break. No, I'm just playing, But no, I'm in a good swing. How about you?
I am too. And I feel like our students are too. You know, now they're getting acclimated to their schedules. Because I've had a lot of conversations with my patients lately about, okay, do you have a game plan with your eating? Like, now they know, like, okay, which dining hall am I near? Do I have time to go back to my apartment? When are we working in some physical activity? So those are a lot of the conversations that I've had with my patients recently now that they have a true idea of what their schedule looks like. Because we're, you know, we're past
locked into your classes now. You can't.
No more drawbacks.
You're stuck.
So that, to me, I think is really good. So I'm excited to see what the rest of the semester brings. Hopefully some cooler weather.
Yes.
My son has this really cute Alabama bomber jacket that I want him to wear, but I think he's going to grow out of it before he can actually appropriately wear it.
Yeah.
But anyways, y'all, okay, we have to take a quick break. We have some amazing guests today, as we always do, but because it is still so hot, go grab something to drink, something nice and cool and refreshing.
Ice cold water.
Yeah, maybe a snack, maybe some ice cream.
Mm.
Yeah, very weather appropriate. But we're taking a quick break. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you are just now joining us, Whitney and I were talking about the hot weather. We've been talking about people passing out in the stadium. We were talking about grabbing a snack of ice cream. But you also may remember before the break, Whitney mentioned that September is Recovery Month, which is a total inspiration for our guest today.
It is. We're super excited to have our guest. So we have some folks from Collegiate Recovery coming over, or actually not coming over. They're here now. I don't even know. See, y'all, I need some water. Y'all are going to have to, like, have me a cooler of water. Producer, can I get some water? I'm just kidding. We have Jaime Garza, Coordinator of Recovery Services, and Hillary Groover. Groover?
No, it's Groover.
It's Groover?
Groovy. Yeah.
Did I put that wrong on my sheet? Program manager. Anyway, welcome. Thank you for coming to our show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. First timers on the radio?
First time.
Perfect. Well, you know, Jaime, I know that you've been, how long have you been with us now?
I've been with the university for just over 6 years.
I can't believe that, because I remember when you guys joined, and then Hillary, I know you're a little newer to the UA campus, and so how long ago did you start at UA?
Yeah, so it'll be 2 years in January.
Okay.
So I came in January 2018. Actually, my first day on the job was the national championship game, and we won.
Hashtag lucky charm.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Okay. We're doing hashtag hands,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, hashtag so hands. Visual it right now. Okay, so with it, that's actually a great segue. Hillary, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your title with the CRC and those job responsibilities, you know, your background prior to coming to UA. Just basically
talk about yourself. We want to know who you are.
Yes.
Who am I? Well, I hail from Georgia, so came over from Atlanta, graduated from Kennesaw State University, and this is my first job in higher education.
Awesome.
And, yeah, it's been a blast thus far. I had some experience with Collegiate Recovery as an undergraduate student, and I also identify as a person in long-term recovery from drug and alcohol use, and so that was really a tool that I used to successfully graduate sober, and really, you know, became a proponent of it, really found the importance of it and what it can do and how it can change lives. And so I wanted to be a part of that professionally. And so when UA was seeking a new program manager, I applied, I came, I had a swell interview, and I got the job. So like I said, first day on the job, the championship, I've never been, you know, Kennesaw State has a very, you know, we had our inaugural football season in 2015. So it really opened my eyes to just, you know, the pageantry and the school spirit and really love that about the culture of UA.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really think it's, you know, it's important to have a CRC on this type of campus as well, on all campuses.
Yeah.
So what do I do at the CRC? I really, you know, the number one thing that has the most impact in a CRC is the peer support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not a peer, so I don't, you know, where's my role in that is, I kind of act as the parameters to, you know, keep the programming, keep the scheduling, keep the fun kind of flowing and the fellowship across the semester. And then pretty much the students work all the magic of the program.
Oh,
and so, really, you know, my job is to make sure there are no barriers, right? And so I offer academic advising for all of our students, facility where they can come and study, where they can, you know, print out syllabus, where they can come grab a snack, host an array of different events, you know, from bowling to laser tag to sober tailgate to, you know, service work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so really just keep a pulse on the community, keep, you know, kind of herd the cats of it all.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got different ages and different majors and a lot of personalities. So really just keep the parameters and pulse of the community and help it just flourish is kind of my job in a nutshell.
That sounds like you just have just such a rewarding experience in all of that, especially being able to just witness these students go through life change during such an important time in their lives. So I think that is amazing. And Jaime, tell us about you, your background, and even, you know, for our listeners who may be new to what Collegiate Recovery is on a college campus, that term may be new to them. I'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Sure. So my role is I'm a trained clinician. That's my background. So I come from the world of drug and alcohol treatment. And that's when we see people that have kind of got to the end of the road when it comes to their drinking and using. And so it was kind of a shift for me when I came to a college campus that, you know, my perception of what's going on college campus is, well, everybody drinks and everybody smokes and everybody mm-hmm. does heavy drugs, and mm-hmm. that's not the reality. Mm. The reality is there's a lot of people on this campus that can control and enjoy their drinking at the same time. I don't know what that is, because I'm also a person in long-term mm-hmm. recovery. So it was definitely a transition to see that. But what we did come up seeing is that people in long-term recovery were having a hard time existing on a college mm-hmm. campus mm-hmm. just because of those perceptions mm-hmm. and some of the actual drinking cultures that exist on any, you know, given college. So what we ended up doing is we created a program that was designed to help people kind of get back on track. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the name of the program when we first started it, was Back on Track, getting people that were, you know, getting into some trouble with the university or with, you know, law enforcement, to help them learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. But then we started working hand in hand with another program called Collegiate Recovery. Mm-hmm. And so we now have two programs that have been combined together. We hired an amazing executive director. His name is Dr. Gerard Love. Mm-hmm. And he's been coming out here to kind of really help with the vision of marrying these two programs. So now I'm over the coordinator position for Collegiate Recovery, and it's been an amazing process to watch students who never believe that they can ever come back to school to mm-hmm. actually have a home base mm-hmm. where they can feel protected, supported, mm-hmm. And pushed. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that, you know, we as a culture of people try to do. We put on our kid gloves and we want to treat them very softly because we believe that they are fragile, mm-hmm. and it's actually the opposite case. Mm-hmm. They're very strong and resilient, so they need a little love, they need a little support, but they also need a little bit of encouragement. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we do really, really well at the Collegiate Recovery community.
I have to say, every time I come over to teach yoga for you guys, it's the coolest atmosphere. I walk in, I'm like, I wish my office was over here, because you got the back room where everybody's hanging out, and like, it's a family. Like, everybody supports each other. They're checking out for each other. And you need that type of environment. So if those of you that are listening, you know, if you have any type of struggles and you need a place to go, I mean, definitely check out the CRC, because like I said, every time I walk in, I'm like, man, y'all have the coolest community here.
I know. And you know, I know, Jaime, you were mentioning, you guys build this experience so that they are able to have the college experience just substance free. And I know a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about some of those offerings and what that looks like. But Jaime, where were you before coming to the University of Alabama? What's your educational background as far as where you went to college?
Sure. So my background is, I was a collegiate athlete. Mm-hmm. So I got recruited to play at UCLA for football. And then that's when kind of my addiction took over, and I lost my full ride scholarship. Mm. And then I ended up kind of, you know, living life on life's terms for about six years. And then I went back to a community college where I started learning about drug and alcohol studies. So it was a little community college. And then I went and got an online degree through Argosy University in psychology. And then eventually that led me to wanting to get a master's degree. And I got that in business administration. And now I'm concluding, hopefully soon, crossing my fingers, that I will have my PhD come in next year.
That's a lot of work.
Awesome. Yeah, I need to get used to calling you Dr. Garza.
Yeah.
Dr. G.
Dr. G.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
Tell us what you want, that nickname that you want.
Well, we are going to come up on a break pretty soon, but what are some fun events in the vicinity are coming up that our listeners can get excited about?
Yeah, so every home game, we have a huge sober tailgate right on the quad. If you're looking at Denny Chimes and the President's Mansion is behind you, we are to the right. Look for a big bouquet of yellow balloons that we have that are just kind of our signal to the community mm-hmm. that we're in mm-hmm. recovery. We're partying hard, but we are partying sober mm-hmm. and to get over here and start fellowshipping with us. So those are awesome. Even if you aren't in recovery, though, stop by, grab a soda, you know, check check out the vibe, check out the community before you go to the game. And then also, you know, in honor of National Recovery Month, we are doing a Run for Recovery 5K, and that's going to be, you know, a big fundraiser for our Student Support Service Fund, as well as a really cool way to, you know, come out, fellowship, and also, like, exercise and have fun. And that's Sunday, September 29th at 2 p.m. It will not affect football. You can come after
church. We just have to make sure we
That's awesome. It was big. So, yeah, that's another huge one coming up.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We've got so much more to talk about. But you guys, as Sheena always says, grab a quick drink, maybe go to the restroom. I'll say grab the ice cream because y'all know that's my jam. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Take 500. I'm just kidding. We are glad you guys are listening to our show today, and we have some awesome guests on talking about Recovery Month and addiction and what that looks like in our services here at UA and on campus. We just want to take care of all you guys, and so we're trying to give you as much information as we have.
Absolutely, and it gives us an excuse to just have some fabulous people from campus on the show. So there you go.
Well, we were talking a little bit about the events and things that you guys have going on, which we'll talk more about, but let's talk about, like, what addiction is, because I think, you know, some of our listeners may be curious and maybe they're struggling with a couple of things, or they know a roommate or a family member and maybe they just need a little bit more information. So addiction,
sure,
what is it?
So addiction is a mass undertaking, so it can be very scary to even think that I would even be considered in the category of addiction. Mm-hmm. But addiction, there's an entire spectrum, which we call substance use disorder. Once you have crossed the threshold into addiction, there's kind of like a formal hijacking of the brain. We see a lot of people who are considered addicts or alcoholics who do some very... they do some acts that would be considered immoral, mm-hmm. like whether you're stealing money from your family mm-hmm. or you're hurting the ones you love. They're not doing that by choice. Mm-hmm. They're doing that because the brain has been hijacked where their substance of choice has become life and death.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying if I were go to Walmart and my family hasn't eaten in 2 weeks mm-hmm. and I see a rotisserie chicken there, mm-hmm. I have no money. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. It's life and death. I'm mm-hmm. going to steal that chicken. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean I'm an immoral person. It becomes a moment of survival.
Yes.
So when we get to substance use disorder, a lot of people may feel like they don't need to engage in any kind of recovery practices because they haven't reached those stages mm-hmm. yet. And what we try to tell people is, like, when you look at something like cancer, you know, when is the best time to treat cancer? Mm-hmm. It's usually pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And so if you start seeing yourself having some symptoms of substance use disorder, whether you told yourself you weren't going to drink that much tonight, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden you found yourself crossing the limit or blacking out or, mm-hmm. you know, doing things that you said you wouldn't do, those are pretty early signs that you are in substance use disorder mm-hmm. and you could potentially head in the direction of addiction. But obviously no sane person would wait till the last stage of a cancer to seek help. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about recovery is that you can start at any point. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just feel like I'm not enjoying drinking and using, but it's just kind of the culture and I don't want to do that, you are eligible for recovery. So everybody is eligible for addiction, mm-hmm. but everybody is also equally eligible for recovery at any point in any stage.
And I think it's really interesting because a lot of, if you don't know what addiction is or if you've never had any type of interaction with that, whether it's yourself or family members, you can have such a not right mindset about it. You mm-hmm. think, oh, well, why don't they just quit? Why are they stealing? And I'm like, but you don't understand. Like you said, it's life or death. Like at that point, you're going to do whatever you can because that's the only thing that's on your mind. I remember, like, my brother saying, I think because he's in recovery and he's doing well, so like 5 years, so we're excited. But saying, like, the moment it happened when he was, like, on the bathroom floor and he was literally like, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. Because it was just, like, that's his only choice he had was whatever, shooting up or whatever he was doing. And so it's just, it's interesting. I think people need to learn more about that because sometimes people, just like with anything, they can have a very... like uneducated kind of standoffish way of looking at it, and it's a disease. I mean, it really affects it can take over, you know?
Right. And people get scared when they listen to words like disease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we try to really break that word into two pieces, which mm-hmm. is dis and ease, which is like not feeling good in your own skin.
Yeah. Are you at ease?
You're uncomfortable. So if you're uncomfortable with kind of how your life is going, it's some form of a dis-ease, right? You need to take a look into that. You may want to go seek some help or see a counselor or talk to a friend. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to go to the extremes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about our collegiate recovery community. If you didn't have any inclination that you're having some discomfort mm-hmm. in your life, come talk to us and we'll point you in the right direction.
And I'm sure you guys probably work closely with the families of your students that are part of your community. And what other types of misconceptions do you try to debunk when you are helping the family be as best support as possible to a student that's in recovery?
Sure. Well, we definitely have an amazing family program within mm-hmm. our Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services. Kelly Miller is our family program coordinator. But what we try to do is families sometimes either overreact or underreact. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the experience that we've had is, you know, their loved one is getting into trouble and all of a sudden they're going to pull them out of school and they're going to mm-hmm. have to go to the military or do something along those lines. It's a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah.
And then there's some parents who just underreact. Their kids are failing out of their class. They're, you know, having to pay for semester after semester with no, you know, moving forward progress. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of co-signing and saying, it's okay. It's just a college experience. Everybody at college goes through that. And so, again, it's just, you know, we try to do our best to engage the families, to educate them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when their kids are really going through some problems, we really want them to understand that it's been a process to get here mm-hmm. and that they don't need to take full ownership of their child's problems, and they start to say, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And they start to beat themselves up. And again, it is a multitude of environments, mm-hmm. peers, experiences that lead people down that path. So we try to let them know that they're a piece of it, but mm-hmm. they're not the whole thing, mm-hmm. but they are a large portion of the solution. So you cannot treat someone with addiction or substance use disorder alone. You have to treat the family system.
Yeah.
And again, like yourself, like mm-hmm. being the sister of your brother, you know, being the sister, mm-hmm. you have a role to play in supporting your brother's recovery mm-hmm. process.
Yeah, that was a very good explanation. That was great. So what is recovery? We got a few minutes before we'll take a break. We can go ahead and jump into that. So what does recovery look like? I know it's like you can do it at any time if you feel like that's what you need. But I mean, where do you start?
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's journey starts different. You know, my journey started with a 16-month intensive outpatient drug court program, mm-hmm. right? And it was great because it got me sober long enough to realize that I needed recovery. Mm-hmm. Because just not putting in doesn't mean that you are engaged in an active recovery lifestyle. So there's several principles that go into it, but, you know, I would argue that the antecedent of addiction is connection. Uh-huh. And so that's one thing that I think pulls a lot of us out of it after we actually get the actual chemical dependency out of our system. And so how do we connect? How are we being of service in our community? Mm-hmm. You know, how am I getting myself out of my own head by, you know, empathizing and helping others? Mm-hmm. And that's really a catalyst that sparks a lot of the early recovery that we see from students coming to us, you know, who don't need an intervention, who mm-hmm. don't need to go to treatment, who are, you know, not so far down the scale, but they've started to, you know, use with negative consequences, or they've started to mm-hmm. isolate. And so how do we bring that, you know, them out of that is we provide fellowship, you mm-hmm. know, we provide support. We do have clinical pieces mm-hmm. that we offer to our students, counseling services, and we team up with a lot of different departments across mm-hmm. our campus community to make sure that there's no barriers and, mm-hmm. and that they have services where they need. But I would argue that the main thing is connection and, you know, living that happy, joyous, and free lifestyle. And that, you know, that requires work. It's a daily reprieve and they have to do daily work and you know, practice. A lot of our students who identify as being in long-term recovery rely on a 12-step mm-hmm. Program that they also work in tandem with the collegiate recovery community. But yeah, it takes a lot of work, but it kind of depends on where you are and where mm-hmm. you start and how far down the scale you went. But I would yeah, I would say that that connection and that being of service to others is a big piece of it.
Yeah. Sounds like there's multiple things that come in play.
I would argue it's things that we all need to do just life better, not necessarily, you know, recovery better. It's really a program like suited to, be able to suit up and show up to live life on life's terms.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary, you know, with what you mentioned, and I love how you articulated this, that there is a difference between being sober and recovery. You know, I think a lot of times people want to use those strongly as like the exact same thing. But for even when you're sharing your own experience of, you know, you had that time of sobriety to really buy into like wanting to pursue recovery as a lifestyle. And I don't know, I just geek out when I sit here and listen to you guys, just because I know the impact that you've had on our students. But before I get too excited, it's time for another break, y'all. So hopefully y'all are down for another segment with us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we'll catch you after the break. Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you are just joining us, we have had some awesome conversation with Jaime Garza and Hillary Groover of the Collegiate Recovery Community Program that's here at the university. And Hillary, I know before the break you were mentioning that your department often partners with other campus departments when it comes to providing an excellent experience for your students. So what are some of the common departments that you guys partner with, and what do those partnerships look like?
Yeah, so one thing we do for all our students who are members of our program is we offer priority registration. And so we partner with another department that helps us give them access to that, similar to how the athletes get, you know, that priority registration due to their athletic schedule. Well, we also have a recovery schedule to maintain, and so we offer that service to our students. We also partner with UREC every now and again.
Our
biggest partnership has been the intramural sports. We've sponsored a intramural sport team, I think, for 3 semesters going now. Yeah, because we did the sand volleyball in summer.
Oh, volleyball? Too. I was curious what y'all played.
Sand volleyball, yeah. And then I think they're doing flag frisbee something.
Flag frisbee?
Ultimate frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee. Sorry.
That's okay. I know nothing about sports. I'm like, an intermission at a sports thing.
yeah. And then we also, you know, do outreach across campus, across the different colleges, because, you know, a big piece of our students' program is, giving back to the community. And so how can they, on a college campus setting, you know, educate and help prevent from their peers going down this path. And so we are speaking with the nursing college, with HES, with the business school, and having some of our students trained as peer educators where they can go out and speak to what addiction is, what recovery looks like, and some of the processes at hand. And because it is a bit of a niche population, you know, life affects us small, but it kind of has that rippling effect where we all have a friend, a family member, a roommate, a loved one that we might come across, and maybe as our time, you know, as a student at UA. And so what do I do? How do I get them connected and to the resources that they may need?
And y'all have also had some amazing guest speakers recently.
Yes.
Come and talk about their experiences that have written books. I know you always hook me up with the books.
Yes. We do a guest speaker series once a year in the spring, and we always have them speak in the big Ferg Ballroom. I think 2 years ago we had a NFL quarterback, Ryan Leaf. Yeah, that was a good one. I'm trying to think. Who was last year?
Last year was William Cope Moyer.
Oh, yeah, William Cope Moyer. So his dad was a press secretary for, like, LBJ, and he's, like, a Pulitzer Prize
author. Is that the Broken book?
Yeah. He wrote Broken, was one of his novels, and he does a lot of advocacy work for Hazleton, Betty Ford. And so, yeah, he was a really, really cool speaker. But, hopefully we'll have a good one coming up in the spring.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do people find out about that? Like, if they're interested, is it on the UA events calendar?
Yes. We'll always get it on there. And, you know, yeah, that's a great question. Like, how do people get connected? If they, you know, hear this, or they see some yellow balloons, or they hear the word CRC or the acronym CRC, the best way, you know, if you really want to get involved, you've heard about this, you're gung-ho, you want to see what it's all about, is to go to our website, you know, recovery.ua.edu. And there's a portal on there. You put your first name and your email, and we will reach out directly to you within 24 hours.
Wow.
And get you plugged in. Now, if you want more of a soft touch, like, I don't really know what this recovery thing is, or one of my friends is in recovery, I want to learn a little bit more about it. We have weekly community recovery night meetings, and that is a one-hour meeting in Farrah Hall. It's in room 214. It's every Thursday night, and that's where either a student or somebody from the local recovery community will come share their story, their experience, strength, and hope with addiction and recovery. And it's a great fellowship event, too, because everyone always congregates and goes and gets a meal afterwards, and it's cool to hear, you know, because like I said, a lot of times people just who aren't in recovery can really relate to the life struggles and how they overcame that, you know.
Yeah.
It's really impactful.
That's awesome. Y'all are busy. That's great, though. Y'all are so busy.
And speaking of busy, Jaime, I know that you're often traveling and recruiting and talking about our program. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like for you.
Sure. Again, we have students who will get into some medical need. They'll either have to take like a medical withdrawal from the university because something that was substance use related. And what I'm pretty proud of is, you know, I'm from, you know, the state of California, and it seems like it's a very liberal state. And so when you think of like a conservative state, like the state of Alabama, you start feeling like they're going to be very strict. And then what I have found here at the University of Alabama is we are probably one of the most caring universities in the country.
That's great.
To be able to take a student and see that this is a problem that is not a, like I said, a moral problem. They're not bad kids, that they just need they need a hand. They need
they
some
need help. Yeah.
And for us to be able to give them a medical withdrawal from the university and say, go get some help and then come back and we'll pick up right where we left off. That's very rare.
That is awesome.
Absolutely.
That is very rare. And I attribute that to the leadership here at the university for having that heart for their students. And so what I get to do is I get to go and visit our students at treatment centers that they go to, make sure that, A, that they're being taken care of.
Yeah.
Right? We take care of our own here at Bama. I want to make sure they're being well taken care of and they're being fed, right? Like a good father. To make sure
absolutely.
You're being so fed. Great, you take care of my kids.
Oh, that's great.
But then I also get to tell the story of being able to come back to school. There's a lot of people out there who feel like addiction has taken away their hopes and dreams. Some of them may have legal cases. They have background issues, and I always tell them, like, look, never give up hope. And so I get to spread that word and give them the admissions speech.
Yeah.
Like, you can apply to the University of Alabama. We will do everything we can to help you. And we've been pretty successful. Just over the summer alone, we had almost over 10 students that just said, hey, I want to come back to the University
that
of Alabama.
That is awesome.
And that's just, again, the heart of what we try to do is give people a second and third chance. Because I know I needed it. And, you know, when I finally walked that stage and have that doctoral degree, it wasn't because of anything else but a miracle and, and caring people who gave me a second and third chance.
I love that. And, you know, your services are so near and dear to my heart just because I often will share clients with you all if they have an eating disorder that is in tandem with substance abuse or maybe even standalone. And, you know, the way you said, a lot of times people feel like their addiction has, you know, taken away their hopes and dreams. You know, I tell my clients all the time, I never want you to see like your eating disorder has stolen away what you ultimately want for yourself, you know, whether that be your dream career or having a family. So I just, I don't know, I'm getting all the feels right now.
Yeah.
So.
And we do have mood lighting today.
Exactly.
Our lights are down.
Yes.
It's like super chill. No, I think what you guys do is great. Like I said, I love to go over there and teach yoga when I get to and see the faces and see everybody and just be there for that moment of time and just, this is here, this is now, this is what we're doing in this room. And I think it's it's really great. We're getting close to another break, but before we close out our show, any other little things you want to jump in? Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I also want to know is that, you know, one of the initiatives that Dr. Love is doing right now, he's doing a recovery ally training. That is for is that our students, you know, they want to be able to feel like they can walk around this campus free. There is a stigma that comes with addiction.
Oh, yeah.
There is an absolute stigma with addiction, with mental health issues, eating disorders, everything. And we were really wanted, that's why we have our tailgates smack down in the middle of the quad, because we want to let them know that we don't have to hide just because you've chosen to live a lifestyle of recovery.
Right.
And so what we're really trying to do is team up with the entire community and let them know, like, hey, these are some items that you want to watch out for when you are dealing with someone in long-term recovery. And Dr. Love has been able to create this program, and we're going to start releasing some of the programming so that when our students go to a faculty's office hours and they see the Recovery Ally sticker outside of their office,
I love that
they feel like this is a place someone is...
Me. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm going to be rocking that out.
Right?
My door.
They're recovery informed, and that's a place where I can feel comfortable talking about, like, this is why I'm having a hard time right now with your class, because this is what's going on in my life. And so that is a good sign of what's to come for
the
university.
Awesome. I think anytime we can be informed, especially faculty, because I teach some kinesiology 1 credit classes, and I'm always like, when my students want to talk to me, I was like, let's talk about it. And they'll sit there with me for hours. So I would literally love that. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Afternoon, you guys. Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. We have had an amazing show kicking off Recovery Month. We've got some more shows to happen with our friends at the CRC, and I don't know who will happen next week. It'll just be a surprise. Do we know?
Yes, we will have two CRC members who are going to come and kind of tag team their stories, their personal testaments.
We love when we have students on. Yes. We usually have professionals, but then we always like to throw in like students here and there. It keeps us grounded. Yeah. It's great.
And the students, they tell their friends to listen to the show. Faculty staff don't have friends, but students.
I mean, we have so many fans right now listening to 2:00 on a Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. Anyways.
But hey, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but we had to reschedule the Yale-Alabama tie-dyed event.
Yes.
And we are doing
that
tonight.
That was a bad rainstorm.
That was awful.
Yes.
But
tonight, though.
Yes.
6:00.
Because you can't be standing in line for a food truck when it's like raining. And thankfully, that's not happening.
You get
tonight.
A tie-dye shirt.
Yes.
If you're not committed, I will stand in the rain.
Yeah. I mean, for some tacos and some grilled cheese.
Tacos.
You know.
I just want to wear my Grateful Dead shirt. That's all I want to see. My dancing bears.
But Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services, you guys are part of that event too, right?
Yes, we'll be there representing, and definitely going to bring a white shirt with me, and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And we also have, one more event. Just want to plug it one more time. On September 29th, to kind of cap Recovery Month, we've got a Run for Recovery 5K. It's on UA's campus. You can find the link to sign up on our website, or there's flyers all over the place on campus. And it's on awesome. It's also 3 Greek points.
Three whole points.
But again, a great place to, have fun, fellowship, exercise, and come out for a good cause.
So they can find the information on your website and they can register?
Yes, it's an online registration portal. Good. And got a cool swag bag, awesome shirt, so some vendors out there, so it'll be fun.
Now, do you mind sharing y'all's social media handles here? Just in case.
So we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and it is all at Bama Recovery. Sorry, I'm showing
Bama
my age.
Recovery.
I don't know the
You're like
at
me, I'm like,
hashtag protocol.
Hashtag, yeah.
At Bama Recovery. So Bama check Recovery. Us out, like us, follow us. We're always posting just silly antics on there.
Okay. I love that. I'm actually looking right now.
Speaking of the word silly, that means that tell y'all a terrible joke. Like, I will, just because I'm embarrassed about it, I'm going to go ahead and just say, like, this is going to be
We love silly jokes, Sheena.
I know.
So.
But since you don't have one today, Whitney, I will share one. It is food related. Mm-hmm. So, in our last 2 minutes together, I was actually hoping we would run out of time.
Sister. You're telling it.
Okay. So, why shouldn't you fall in love with a pastry chef?
Wait a minute.
Why should you not fall in love with a pastry chef?
Something about
sheets or layers
or dough.
Please tell us.
We have no clue.
I know, it's like that's where in Radio 101 they'd be like, just tell them. He'll desert you.
How bad is that?
Yeah. I mean it works.
You're punny though. I love a good pun.
Thank you.
I gotta up my game then because it was the long break in the weekend. I didn't think I needed a joke. I forgot. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Maybe we should step up our social media game and then have listeners suggest jokes to us, and then they're listening thinking like, oh my gosh,
are they gonna say my joke on the radio
to be read by the Whitney Pate or the Sheena Gregg. So producer, make notes. We will do this. But you guys, I hope y'all have had fun with us. I know that we have enjoyed our time with Hillary and Jaime today, learning about recovery and just really being able to kick off this month and having some fabulous guests that will continue in this topic area. But you guys, enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. We will see y'all tonight at the Rec Center outdoor pool parking lot because we've got all the food trucks. We've got
Tie-dye.
MC DJ Whitney Pate.
I will be DJ.
Yes.
You better give me some song requests or you're going to hear a bunch of like 90s.
DJ Cool Whip, as you said, that was your name. But y'all, come join us. And until next time, you have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.